Do you really desire for the Lord to come and return? That earnest desire to be face to face with your Maker. The holy, holy Lamb of God going to return in those clouds. I remember sitting there, my wife, and I said, could you imagine, we're sitting there watching a sunset, and I just said, could you imagine right now at the clouds, and he just come right down. Just said, hey, it's time. It's time, children. I do believe that time is coming near.
Yes, it is.
It is coming near. We must be steadfast till the end. Deception will continue. It is rampant. It is rampant. I just want to say thank you to Brother Ed for last week. He covered the pulpit. He did a fantastic job. To know him so much more. That should be our desire every day, is to know him better, to know him more. And how do you do that? You seek him. You pray. You read his word. That allows you to get to know him and what he desires for you, his plans, his will, not your own. So thank you, brother. Thank you for being faithful. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for just blessing our time of praise and worship, for having your will and your way. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you block out any distraction for this body, that we receive what you have for us today, that we can be changed to be more like you. As you are the silversmith, Lord, as you look down on your work, that we might be a reflection of you. Holy Spirit, use my mouth to speak your words, not my own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I left not finishing my series on being courageous and strong in the Lord. And so we get to continue. We had a little intermission last week. And I do believe it's all kind of tied together anyway. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 was our opening scripture in the New Living Translation, which was, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. And as we navigated through the Old Testament, we learned, and we used Israel as our story, our backdrop, coming out of Egypt and with the land flowing of milk and honey at their fingertips, they waned. And fear, as Moses sent out the 12 spies, 10 of the 12 came back, spreading fear amongst the camp. And only two remained strong, which was Joshua and Caleb. Thank God for men of strength in him. So what happened was, they were lost in the wilderness, just to recap, for 40 years until the generation, all those over 20, could not see the promised land. And except for Caleb and Joshua. They were able to get to the promised land. They crossed over the Jordan. Remember, the Jordan stopped. They then seized Jericho, and they saw the walls of Jericho come crashing down. And where we left off was in Joshua 23, the actual end, after all these awesome things have happened and God delivers them. And we'll go through that as we get into Joshua 24, just a recap of all the things that the Lord promised and did. And we touched just the beginning of 23 a couple weeks ago, where I left off. And I want to go back to the beginning of that so we don't miss our mark. And it came to pass a long time after that, the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. I love how he's still, even at an old age, he's still calling and trying to encourage his people that he was put in charge over. That's a word of knowledge for you that are up in age. You have much work to do still until you breathe your last breath. There's no rest until you breathe your last breath. And you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. See, God fought for them. That's why they were victorious. They weren't victorious because of their own might. There's always going to be someone greater or mightier than you, unless you're in the Lord. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. And I reminded you in a couple weeks ago of where Jesus said that the plowman to be set on his mark, not to look to the left or right, not to sway, as we used the wheat and the chaff, right? The chaff kind of blows and there's no root to it. And it says that you come not among these nations, then these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. And we use 2 Corinthians 6:17 to say, be ye separate. And you have to do that because in 1 Corinthians 29:15, this was in the New Living Translation, and I thought this was fitting because, let me get there, please. In 29:15, he says, we are here only for a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. That's our time here. What do you do with that time? Are you going to be like the 10 spies who had fear and just didn't want to step out in faith? Or do you stand on God's promises and be courageous like Joshua and Caleb? Because you each have people set before you that you can share the love of God. The love that you received, you can share. But you have to be bold. You have to be courageous. If you're going to be like the other 10, you'll just wander in the wilderness. Hopefully, you'll still be right with the Lord when the Lord comes, but scriptures say like you should be doing his work. You should be propagating. And some of you are new to the faith, and that's okay. But you can learn, and you can share. You know what the easiest way to share the gospel is? Share your testimony.
Amen.
Share your testimony. Say what the Lord has done to you in your life. You need some scripture to be able to base your foundation on, and that's okay. But share your testimony. Share what the change is that happened to you.
Right.
Your sister. That's a perfect opportunity for you to share with your sister what the Lord has done in your life and what peace you found and accepted. That is the easiest way. But cleave unto the Lord your God as you've done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. Great nations and strong nations. And he drove them out. That's because the Lord is stronger than any man. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. What is the commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. Love him first. Again, we were talking about the Old Testament, how it just carries through. There's this thin line of crimson that rolls through it. It's all pointed back to the cross, that love that was poured out. Else if you do and in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations. And I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 19. The Lord just gave me this morning. in chapter 19, and we're going to pick it up in verse 24. It says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." She looked back. She looked back to her old life. Do you cleave to that remnant of your old life? Lot's wife did. And he said here, he says, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations. We're going to read through there. But he says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back to the old life. She didn't want to give it up completely. I said a couple weeks ago, you get all of Jesus or you get none of him. You can't cleave to the old life. You are a new creature. Romans chapter 6. Read it. Ask the Lord to give you direction on it. Sometime we'll spend some time in it, but I encourage you to read 6, 7, and 8 foundational chapters. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And here's a little glimpse of what is going to happen to this earth. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. All things will be consumed by the fire. I looked out upon, as I was on vacation, and it's very wealthy, wealthy area in Florida. It's very easy to get caught up into that. Even myself, I remember looking at these amazing boats that come by and stuff, and these houses, just gorgeous mansions on the waterfront. And I found myself like almost coveting, going, I would love to have that, or I'd love to have that. And then I was reminded in my mind, like, you strive for all those things and you leave the Lord behind. And I really felt like there's so many people that are lost because their God is their possessions. I actually emailed that to Brother Ed. Their God is their possessions. That is what they worship rather than their Creator. And all those things are going to be consumed in the fire. It does you no good when you breathe your last breath to have all those things. I'm not telling you can't have things, but I'm just saying they can't be the first priority in your life. That's what Satan wants you to do. That's the deception. That's the lie that's in America. The American dream is, to have all these things and have the big house, and that's not the real American dream. The real American dream is this gospel. That's the real American dream. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do, anywise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. See, like Lot's wife, she looked back to the world. He's warning. Remember, Joshua's warning the tribes of Israel here. He's old and stricken in age, and he was warned earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 31 that this was going to happen. But he says, "But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." And I think this is the example of the constant spiritual battle that we as Christians have in this world. It says that there are constantly going to be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land. See, one of our dear sisters here sent me an email, and she had a dream or a vision. And she had an experience with a demon, if you want to call it that. And she asked for clarity on it, and she said, what was that all about? And she said that the devil wants you back. He wants you back. See, you've made a commitment to Christ. He wants you back in his possession. He wants you back in the world. Remember that. It is warfare, and we will be going there. warfare, spiritual warfare, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that no one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. See, all of God's promises are true and faithful. They're true and faithful. Nothing in this book doesn't happen. God is not a man that he would lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he had said it, he will do it. That is Numbers. That is a promise. That is one of my favorite scriptures. My dad burned that into me. He burned it into me. And I believe that. His promises are true and faithful to those who seek him. But you must seek him first. Back to the Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's his way of doing things. Oh, man. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. See, he warned them. He said, don't break the covenant. Right. It's no different than today when I was talking to my dear little, my young brother, Jonathan, about a form of godliness today here in the church, but denying the power thereof. Lovers of themselves. And what is the result of that? Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 21:23. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, it doesn't say a few, it says many, will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Wow. Wow. Covenant breakers. Backbiters. Truce breakers. That's all in 2 Timothy. And Joshua's warning him. Warning, Israel, be strong, courageous in the Lord. When you have transgressed the covenant of your Lord, he's telling him, just begging them not to do this. He would send them off from the land. And so in chapter 24, we'll pick up, it says that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. These are all of God's promises that were fulfilled as from the beginning of Genesis through up to this point. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness in a long season. And I brought you into the land of Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Look at all that's been accomplished up to this point. and he's trying to get a hold of Israel. He's trying to get, don't forget what all these things I've done. What he continues. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. The Lord is doing all of this, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor. Wow. I gave you a land you did not even labor for. And the cities which you built not, he gave them the cities as well. And you dwell in them of the vineyards and the olive vineyards which you planted, not do you eat. Now therefore, now he makes a decree, just transitions. He says, all these things you've done, now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Look at all the things he's done for you. You must have a reverential fear. You don't live in fear here, but you do have a holy fear of God. Amen. And he tells them now, so now therefore, he makes that decree, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. That's for you individuals. Put away your idols. Put away your gods. Serve him. Have a fear of God. Serve him who gave you all. He gave you every breath. The breath you just took right now is from him. Which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it evil seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. He's giving a choice. Serve God or the world. 2 Peter, you don't need to turn there. I will turn there for you. Chapter 2. I've used this one many times with you. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire or the mud. Use that scripture many times with you. And he's giving that example right now. Serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. He gave them all those things. It's no different. Again, Old Testament, New Testament. It said after you escape the pollutions of the world, the pollutions of Egypt, the corruption, all those things that they escaped through, even through the wilderness, God saw them through there. And yet, he's having them to make a decree. After all that's happened, they can look back and that history is there. It's been passed on from generation to generation. And yet he's got to say, who are you going to serve? Are you kidding me? Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But here's Joshua. Amen. Here's Joshua. He's getting a hold of Israel. He said, you can do what you want. You can serve the other gods. You can serve the gods of the Amorites in this land that you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You have to make that choice for your own family. We will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter. Even when government tells you how to live, you will have to make that choice. The time will come. People in China already experienced that when persecution came their way. They made the choice. We will serve the Lord. We just sent off money to the Voice of the Martyrs because they made a choice. We will serve the Lord. Amen. We will serve the Lord. I don't matter. It doesn't matter what comes my way. If I breathe my last breath today, I will serve the Lord. They're making those choices. That is strength. That is to be courageous when you make a choice in front of you. We will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. Why did he say that? And it's because he was actually warned in Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'll read it for you. You don't need to turn. God appeared to Moses, and in 31 verse 20, he says, for when I shall have brought them into the land which I swore unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. So God knew, even amongst all those things that he was going to do for them, he knew that Israel was going to break that covenant. And they constantly did that throughout generation, generation, and generation. You constantly see Israel come back to the Lord and then turn back away and go back to the mud, right? They go back to the other gods. For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Wow. Reminds me of the times, the end times, where people have to be making a choice. Serve the Lord and be martyred? Or serve the Antichrist? Wow. Oof. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. So they actually made it. They say, no, we're going to serve the Lord. And he said, now you are witnesses. You've made that choice. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. See, Joshua had the strength and courage, even in old and age, to set the example for Israel. And I do believe, even though they strayed, there were some who said, no, we will serve the Lord. That stayed constant throughout. It doesn't matter. Even those in the church today in America, there are many of those in the church today that are not really serving the Lord. They may attend church or whatever, but there's a constant thread. There is a remnant church that is here, that is faithful, that is wanting to be in the Lord. That, oh, may I then in him be found. When that trumpet sounds, oh, may I then in him be found. And we are to do his work until that time comes. Make a choice today whom you will serve. I will serve the Lord. I think we're going to end there. We're going to get into where do you get your strength from next week. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your warnings. Even Old Testament warnings are apparent today for us. That we must be steadfast and not waver. We must be immovable objects in you, Father. Give us strength. Give us courage in you. As we go about our days this week, that we may proclaim you and what you have done in our life, that we don't cower down to man and what others think. Why do we care what others think? We should care what you think.
Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' holy name, amen. 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 You guys are dismissed.